And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and joining us from our microphone in Bismarck, Sue Balcom.
Sue joins us once a week to talk about food. Sue comes to us from the Root Cellars Farm outside of Mandan. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Nothing more fun than food, right?
No, I think you're pretty much right there. And this week you want to talk about carrots. And this is a food that's good, especially out of the garden. It's better. And then you wait for a frost and then eat them, and then they're just even better still.
Much sweeter. And raise your hand if you've ever eaten a carrot with dirt on it.
Yeah. Well, this is
radio, but
so
my hands,
just say,
yeah. we're all raising our hands here.
Okay, good.
All across North Dakota, they're raising their hands right now.
I was at my community garden plot, and my son showed up. He did irrigation or lawn sprinkling service, and he had a couple guys with him. And I'm pulling carrots out of the garden in the fall, and I'm offering them to these young men. And the only one that took it was my son, because I'm sure they were a little leery that there was dirt in the cracks of that carrot. But I never peel my garden carrots. We do just kind of brush off that dirt, you know, use a little vegetable brush and some running water. And I love raw carrots, and they're sweeter, much sweeter after the frost, which is, I think that I usually leave my carrots in the ground because they keep better in the ground. So you can keep them in there just like you do beets and potatoes until you can't chip the ground away from them anymore.
So your root cellar is right where the roots are.
Absolutely. So that is – and that's part of the local food challenge in this state. People are always like, I don't know how you can eat local food year-round. Well, part of it is understanding that you can – leave these crops that are cold tolerant out in the garden, cabbage, potatoes, beets and carrots, squash, until you absolutely have to bring them in, like a hard freeze. And there's a difference between a frost and a hard freeze, because a hard freeze, of course, will kill off everything and then things will actually be frozen, as in your deep freeze. But frost is our friend when it comes to things like carrots.
Let's talk about storage, because this summer I was at my in-laws and I was eating some carrots, and I remember thinking, oh, these must be from her garden because these are really wonderful. And not only were they from her garden, but they were from her garden from last summer's harvest, and they lasted a year, or almost a year.
Properly stored in our house, we can eat, we usually have the last of the carrots for Easter dinner in March or April.
Yeah.
They last that long, and here's how we do that. We actually wait until we can't possibly leave them outside any longer, dig them up, brush the dirt off of them. I don't like water. Water breaks down cells, which causes them to rot faster. So we kind of like brush them off, or use a old rag or your gloves, your garden gloves, and kind of get rid of the dirt as much as you can. And then trim the tops down to about an inch above the top of the carrot. Then line them up in a bag with some paper towel to keep them a little bit dry, you know, absorb the moisture. And then I store them in the refrigerator, which we keep a second refrigerator in our root cellar specifically for some of the extra juices and things like carrots that we keep all winter long. Just stick them in there, 40 degrees or a little lower than that, and you can eat carrots anytime you want, if you can con your husband into cleaning them for you.
What about all those tops you've hacked off?
Well, you know, there are people who actually make pesto out of carrot tops, and I mentioned this earlier, that when I'm out in the garden, I'll eat anything that's out there, just free game when I'm hungry. So carrot tops have a kind of carrot flavor, but kind of a green flavor, too, that you could actually whir up in your blender with a little olive oil and garlic and salt and make a pesto out of them.
And they're really good to just toss in if you're making like a fruit smoothie, too, and just, you know, sneak in some more greens.
And if you have a juicer, of course, you can juice your carrots and whir all that stuff together, and you'll be getting a double whammy from those carrots.
And carrot juice is so good.
It is wonderful, and it's really wonderful when you grow your own carrots. I have three rows of carrots, three 20-foot rows, and one of them is purple. And so there are people in the world that, you know, they're like, what is that in that bowl over there? Well, that's carrots, man. Carrots never used to be orange. Carrots were every color of the rainbow before humans got their hands into the seed and started crossing them until they got an orange carrot. Now, I don't know why they picked orange, except maybe bunnies liked orange. I don't know.
Probably for transportation.
Does a purple or yellow carrot taste different than an orange one? Is the flavor note in carrots just a variation of sweetness? How would you describe that?
Right. That's exactly right. So you have carrots that haven't been frosted, and you have carrots that have been frosted. And then you have different, like my purple carrots grow to be quite large. But the flavor is carroty. And so there are some shorter carrots, like if you gardened in a box instead of in a big old plot, you could grow a Nanti carrot that is short and fat, or you can get those long, slender, beautiful ones that they just vary, just like you said, with sweetness. But for the most part, they still all taste like carrots. The thing about the purple ones, though, of course, is like I make a hot, spicy, pickled carrot. And if you use the purple ones, of course, then that purple, just like beet juice, will bleed all over the place and stain. And there are some purple carrots that turn this most gorgeous orange when you cook them. But I have a variety. I think they're called Purple Haze. And my daughter, of course, is like, yeah, right, you'd be growing purple haze carrots for sure.
I think we just learned a lot about Sue's personality.
That's a historical reference. Yeah.
Okay. And those suckers stay purple through and through. So.
Uh-huh. Well, go back to this hot, spicy carrot. How do you make this hot, spicy, pickled carrot? Because I want that.
They actually have kind of a little turmeric and a little, what's the other seasoning? Turmeric and salt, and then it's vinegar and sugar. So they're kind of sweet. And then I use a little jalapenos, like I'll simmer the sugar and vinegar water together with jalapenos and pour that over those carrots. And then they're kind of crunchy because, you know, they're raw carrots and they're only processed long enough to kind of seal the jar, about 20 minutes at the most. And so you've kind of got a crispy carrot that is hot and spicy. And then, of course, you can make them just like you do dill pickles. They're just you've seen that garden mix in the store that has cauliflower and carrots.
Gardenaria?
Yeah, I could never, I can't pronounce some of those weird words, but.
I don't know that I just did either, but I know what you're talking about.
Yes, and so you can actually, okay, back to fermentation again. You can ferment any vegetable or combination of vegetables on your counter. And so carrots are one of the easiest things to ferment next to cucumbers and cabbage. So fermenting pickled carrots are really awesome. And I can get you that recipe, too. So,
and you can make some pretty good desserts with carrots.
Oh, yeah. Let's not forget those people who have to hide their carrots in something sugary, like carrot cake. I have two recipes for carrot cake. One is called Golden Carrot Cake, where your carrots are blended with oil, and so you get like a soft orange sponge cake. Really good. And that's the best way to hide them, because the other carrot cake, of course, is got like grated carrots and raisins and nuts and cream cheese frosting, which is a must. And that's kind of a little more textural. And I love a good carrot cake. Oh, yummy. Or bars. And you can shred them and freeze them. You can slice them and freeze them. Of course, you have to blanch them first. But they're also good in soup, you guys. Like my husband has said to me many times, if someone told me 5 years ago or 10 years ago that I'd be eating carrot soup or squash soup, I would have never believed him. And yet it's one of his favorite, and it's a very simple thing to do.
Well, give us a sense of how simple it is.
Okay, so I come home from work. I go out and pick, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 good-sized carrots, wash them, saute them in a little butter. Then I add a medium chopped onion. And, of course, you've got apples this time of year, too. So you want to throw in a couple of really fine apples. And by fine, I mean something like a Honeycrisp or a Windsap or a Gala, little tart, you know, and a stalk of celery that's been chopped up real fine. And you saute these vegetables till they're tender. And then you add a quart or a little more of chicken stock. And you can buy chicken stock at the store, or you can make your own. It's conventional. It's organic. Adjust your seasoning. If you like something that has a little bit of that carrot cake flavor, you'll want to put a little nutmeg or cinnamon in with your salt and pepper. And then you can kind of eat it just the way it is, or you can use a stick blender and puree it. Put it in a bowl, add some wonderful toasted sourdough breadcrumbs and a little swirl of sour cream, and you have just a, 30 minutes later, you have an absolutely wonderful harvest soup.
Well, bon appetit. We check in with Sue Balcom every week.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and you guys try some carrot soup, will you?
Oh, I will.